give you a new name when you get over. So what I'm going to trip on a name for? Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me here. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. And so he tested him in the pride of life. We got to be careful because the devil wants to test us and tempt us on the pride of life. And sometimes when we go through our tests, we fail. But Jesus answered him. He gave a mature response in his wilderness word. This thing could have taken him out. This thing could have stopped him from becoming who he was supposed to be. Come on and say amen. But he said, look, I already know who I am. And he said, I can't worship anybody but the Lord thy God, and only him shall I serve. Verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem into the pinnacle, to a high place. And he set him up there, and he said, now, let me tell you, let me give you some more word. The word said that if you cast yourself down, that he'll have his angels to come and bear you up so that your foot won't dash against the stone. If you do this, you know, I want to see if you're really the Son of God like you say you are. People will say that about you. People will tempt you. Oh, you ain't big as Christian as you say you is. You ain't saved like they say you saved. They'll test you, they'll tempt you, they'll say things about you to try to get you off track, but you don't need to give them a response that's immature. You need to give them a mature response. And then look at what Jesus said in verse 12. He said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, look here. He said that it is written, and then he turned around and said, it's said. Sometimes we can go by what's written, but then it gets to a point that we need to know what God said to us. I can say it's written all I want, but when it becomes alive to me, when I can live this thing, then I can say I know what it says. I ain't got to refer to what's been written. Moses might have wrote it. Peter might have wrote it. But when it's alive to me, I know it's right. And I say, I know what the word of God said. And it is said that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Look at that. He was full. He followed. Come on and say amen. And he was tempted in his lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen. He was tempted. And he disciplined himself not to get out of character. Come on and say, man, he didn't get aggravated with the devil and bring accusations against him. He didn't say, devil, now you know what? I'm the Son of God. You go to hell and don't come back. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. But he could have, because he was who he was. But he said that there is a greater purpose here. I have to defeat you not like this. I have to defeat you on a cross. I have to hang from a tree because you used the tree to get us in this mess. I'm going to use the tree to get us out.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 12. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 12. A recording of these words. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. But just a little while, I'm going to speak from the subject. Coming one way, but leaving another. Coming one way, but leaving another. As I have read through these verses and this story many, many, many times, the Spirit of the Living God chose to highlight and spotlight this particular verse to bring out the fact that there are some things that we can learn from the wise men who sought Jesus. That there are some lessons in this our day that we can learn from men who walked in Jesus' day. And I think and I hope and I pray that as God speaks to us and reveal to us his word, that we will learn that this word was made available for our learning. One of the things that I want us to investigate in this verse is the wise men's purpose. The wise men's purpose. For it begins back in the first verse of this second chapter. And you're going to discover that, one, their purpose was seeking to see King Jesus. Seeking to see. You see, some people seek, but they never really find what they are seeking after. And the fact that these men were sincere in their seeking that lasted some nearly 2 years from the time they saw his star until the star stopped over his house. And the wise men were able to continue on in that they had provided for, that they had given themselves for, and that they had desired from the beginning. You see, one of the things about what you really seek is, if you're sincere about it, you'll see it through. If you are serious about it, you will count the cost and pay it. And these wise men did that. They sought Jesus so that they could be eyewitnesses, because the reference is that they saw his star and they asked the question, where is he that was born King of the Jews? That's one of the things that we need to recognize in the sincereness of these men's search. They sought to see him for themselves. Can I tell you, nobody can see Jesus for you to have the relationship that God wants you to have with him. You've got to see him for yourself. I don't care how well grandma know him and grandpa know him and mama know him and daddy know him. You've got to know him for yourself. But not only did they want to see him, but they wanted to worship him, because right in the text it tells us that they have come to worship him. In that second verse, you start moving on through this until you get to where we are and the story unfolds. They came to worship him. But listen at this. They wanted to be worthy of their worship. And see, one of the things that I think you ought to know is that worship service comes after the worship commitment. In other words, you ought to get ready to worship before the worship service begins. You ought to be preparing your heart. You ought to be preparing your mind. You ought to be preparing your spirit so that when the opportunity to worship comes, you're already ready. That's why some folk don't get it. They come to church to get on fire. You ought to come to church on fire. You should have already called him up and told him what you want. You should have already had a little fellowship with you and Jesus. You should have already been in that place where you have been in his presence. So when you come here, you have just gotten together with other folk who have done what you've done. So there ought to be a hallelujah good time going on in his house. So they were worthy of worship. They were wise enough to be worthy, to be ready of worship. This was a part of that purpose. And then third thing was, they counted it a privilege to present their presence. I think I need to linger here for a moment. You see, the problem with giving in most churches is that they don't see that their gifts are presented to the Lord. So they can pull out a dollar, $2, a few dollars, whatever it is, and throw on the offering table, put it in the basket, and think they've done something. But can I tell you, real giving is preceded by real worship. And real worship is preceded by real seeking him. When you seek him and you prepare to worship him, then you have no problems giving to him. Because what you decide in the purpose of understanding that you desire to worship, listen, where is he that is born? I could preach a whole message right on this, born King of the Jews. Listen at this. He was worthy of their gifts. You see, you wouldn't have a problem giving if the recipient were worthy in your heart, on your mind, of the gift. Have you ever given somebody something that they didn't deserve, in your opinion? The gift usually reflected it. You catch that when you wake up. But when the recipient is worthy of the gift, you try to give him or her the best gift you can possibly give them. You make sacrifices to get the gift. You do without some stuff to get the gift. You deny yourself of things to get the gift. You go out your way to get the gift. You take out a loan to get the gift. 6 months after Christmas is past, you're still paying on the gift. Y'all ain't helping me in the house. Because you count the recipient worthy. And so when folk pass around the offering table and put a dollar or two, I'm not talking about, listen, if that's all you got. Because Jesus bragged on the woman who didn't have but two mites. We say in this time two pennies, but two mites, which was less than a farthing. And there he bragged on what she gave was more than all the rich folk put in together. So it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about understanding the purpose of giving. And so there, they were privileged. Somebody say privileged. You ought to count yourself privileged to present your presence to the Lord. Every Sunday morning, every opportunity, when you give what you give, it ought to be a privilege for you to have to give. Because he deserves so much more than you give him. Well, let's look at the wise men's present. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these men come from different parts of the East in the regions from which they held. They had some of the most precious gifts, both of their region and of their resources. Gold being the most precious, and myrrh and frankincense pretty much on the same order. But they were used in worship services and multiple other uses. But here is the point, that these wise men counted themselves privileged to take the best that they had from where they were and present it to Jesus. Can I say to somebody here, don't be ashamed. If your gift isn't as big as somebody else's gift, but as long as your gift is the best gift that you can give at this time, then you ought to do it with joy. You ought to do it knowing that you've given him your best, and when he increases you, so will the gifts increase as well. These wise men's presence reflected what they were able to do, but more than that, the presence were a reflection of their desire to see and to worship Jesus for themselves. And I think I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, your gifts say a whole lot about you. Don't ever fool yourself, because even in our day and time, and even in our own experiences, if somebody gives you something that you just know they could have done better, you may not know it, but they talking about you. I hope they don't give me another tie. I hope they don't give me another pair of socks. I hope they don't give me Aunt so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so. All they give me is, I don't need another monogrammed handkerchief. You know, they start talking about, now they can do better than that. No, they got that at the five and dime store. They talk about you. You. Your gifts say much about you. So don't be thoughtless in your giving. If you ain't got a gift worth giving, just say Merry Christmas. And let's take it another step further. If you want to give money and got a lot of money, look, forget about the Hallmark card, because that's taken away from the money. Just go and get the money. Shake the hand and say Merry Christmas. You gonna buy a $5 card and stick $2 in it. I think they'd appreciate the $7. I'm trying to help somebody in the house. They'd be like, say it, Pastor. I've been wanting to say that. Tell your neighbors, your gift speaks much about you. Tell another neighbor, your gift speaks much about you. Now, if you're wise, you'll take hold of that. So the wise men's purpose was to seek to see him, was to be worthy to worship him, and to be privileged to present their gifts. But then they moved on, and we saw the wise men's presence, the best of what each of them were able to do: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But last thing I want to tell you is, we need to observe the wise men's persuasion. Because the record is, they were warned of God. Warned of God. Not to return to Herod. And that might not mean much on the surface. But may I suggest to you today that God is still warning wise men, wise women, wise boys, wise girls, not to return to Herod. Herod represents evil, and Herod represents that is satanic. Herod represents that is ungodly, that is wicked, that is not good. God warns them not to return to Herod. May I say to you, my brothers and sisters, you're sitting here in the house of God, and God has a warning for you to not to return to your Herod. I don't know what your Herod's name is, but you'll know, because the Spirit of the Lord will tell you, will unction you, will prime you not to go back to that way of old lifestyles. Go back to Egypt. Turn back to the old man. Go back in the ways that have affected your life until Jesus brought you into light. Some of us don't understand. You're not wise if you return to Herod. Listen to what Herod says. Listen, go seek him out. Find out where he is. And when you find out where he is, let me know, that I might come and worship him. But that was not Herod's plan. Herod's plan was to destroy this boy who was born king of the Jews. His plan was to destroy this man. Matter of fact, the text says that Herod and all Jerusalem became disturbed when the wise men say they were here to see he that was born king of the Jews. And so God warns them in a dream, don't go back to Herod. God warns us in various ways. Don't go back to your old lifestyle. Don't go back to what he's brought you from. Don't go back to what he's brought you out of. Don't go back to the darkness you were enslaved to. Don't go back. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Because I got news for you. Every now and then you're tempted to go back. When things aren't always what they ought to be where you are, you look back and remember what they used to be. Remember the old ways. Remember the things that used to be. And isn't it amazing that when we talk about those things that were, we forget to usually associate the pain and the problems that were associated with that? Our mind most times simply stay on the passion and the pleasure. But what did that passion and pleasure cost you? Some of you are still paying for the pleasure and the passion of one night. Paying for the passion and pleasure of a bad relationship. Paying for the passion of a situation that you let your head and not your heart dictate. Y'all getting mighty quiet in here today. And so the problem with many of us is we return back to Herod in that way that we go back to the one who desires, listen, to destroy us. Or to destroy the good that is meant for us. Help me preach, tell your neighbor, don't go back to Herod. Tell your other neighbor, don't go back to Herod. Don't go back to Helena, Mary, Joe, Sue, Larry, John, Dick, whoever. Whatever name you call them, you know who I'm talking about. Because if they are not blessed in your present and not a greater blessing in your future, then they belong in your past. And what you'll notice in the Word of God is a phrase that continually shows up in the New Testament. And it came to pass. Some stuff just came. Yeah. To pass. So when you begin to look at the wise men's persuasion, they were warned. But not only were they warned, secondly, the wise men were willing to obey. I said the wise men were willing to obey. See, it don't make sense for God to warn you if you're not willing to obey the warning. The whole purpose of a warning is to tell you of impending danger, trouble problems up a road. On our roads, we have signs that blink and tell us that traffic accident is ahead. Trouble is up, amber alert, on and on and on, telling us of stuff that happens ahead of us so that we can detour, that we can turn off that way and save ourselves some time and trouble. God gives us a warning, but the question becomes, are we willing to obey the one? How many times things happen and you say, something told me? Yeah. And for those of you who have multiple personalities, my first mind told me. Well, how many minds do you have? How many times did you ignore the unction that the Spirit of the Lord was giving you? It might have just been a bad feeling. May not have given you details, but you knew what the bad feelings were connected to. And you wouldn't heed it. And you wind up being hurt. They were willing to obey. The Bible says they departed into their own country. And so, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you go this place and that place seeking whatever it is you're seeking, but there reaches a point in time when you have discovered, when you have found, when you have accomplished what you need to get out of that place and return back home. But even in returning back home, sometimes you can't go back the same way. There must be some developments. There must be some differences. There must be something about you that has changed or that you have the ability to change. And so many times God calls upon us to be different after we have made contact with Jesus. Cannot be the same way. Cannot talk the same talk. Cannot walk the same walk. Cannot be the same old low down, no good person you used to be. Cannot be all that stuff that was indicative of a person who was not saved. And so the Bible says they went home into their own country another way. And the last part about the wise men was they went a different way. Now, remember, it was three from the gifts, but the word doesn't say it was three wise men. It says the wise men, not three wise men. There were three gifts, but however many there were, they all went back a different way to their own country. I want to say this too as I close. Sometimes the company you keep in your seeking may be the company you have to separate from in your return. See, some folk are there with you just for a season. Some folk are there for just a reason. And some folk are just there because opportunity brought you together. But when you have to go back to your rightful place, sometimes you got to leave other folk alone. And some of us have missed our blessings and missed what God had for us because we were trying to bring the wrong person back with us. Lord, I wish I had a witness in the house. You can't bring everybody with you. You got to know when to cut the ties. You got to know when enough is enough. You got to know when to say, well, I'm glad we had this time. Yeah. You've got to know that you have got to do some things by yourself. And when you need support, God knows how to bring it in when it's time. But then when you have